I was stationed on the USS Hector out of the East Coast for several years. She was built in 1942.
Mm-hmm.
And in a shop that I was stationed on up in the upper decks was a very, very large degaussing system that was operated only once while I was on it. And the officers who operated it at the time, and it was only officers, were in my presence, and they were making comments about making sure that there were no radio transmissions at the time that they were testing this. And I often wondered if this was a ship that was ever involved in something like this.
All right, take it away, Drew. Why don't you chat a little bit with our guest here and our and what's your name again?
Dennis.
Dennis. Okay.
Dennis, what kind of ship was it?
Auxiliary repair. AR-17.
Uh-huh.
Huge generators enough to power a small city down below decks.
Sure, sure. The degaussing equipment that was more or less placed on all the ships during World War II is not the technology that would have been used for an experiment of this magnitude. Because degaussing is demagnetizing, okay?
Understood.
What happened here is that they intensified the magnification of the experimental ship and made it a permanent magnet. That's the reason why the force field that Alandi had actually seen actually took on the invisible lines of forces of a permanent magnet.
Okay.
So, and because he had indicated an oblate spiral, and that it's almost like in the form of a football.
How old were you, Dennis, during the...
Oh, gosh, I went in when I was 18.
Gee.
And was this during World War II?
No, far after World War II.
Okay.
But this happened to be one of those ships that didn't have an expansion joint built prior to World War II,
mm-hmm.
and was old enough that it fits within the time frame of your thinking here.
Yeah, well, they commissioned this ship a year before the experiment.
Yes. Right. Yes. So she was very capable of being involved in this, and I'm sure that the degaussing was an original piece of the ship. It was... I've worked around it all the time, and it was a huge cage that was locked and padlocked, and no one had access except the officers. And I was part of the communications crew who should have had access to it and couldn't.
Yes, and even on the destroyer escorts, the type of ship that was used as the experimental ship had the same type of but smaller degaussing units,
mm-hmm.
which were also caged in. So, but again, we have to get into the use of degaussing, or the terminology degaussing is the incorrect method and technology that would have been used.
Well, my question really was around whether or not this was a disguise about what was actually there.
Oh, could be, absolutely. You could have been led to believe it was degaussing, but it could have been something else.
Boy, I'll tell you, when they lit that thing up, you could feel the whole ship hum.
Could you really?
Absolutely.
Did you feel strange physically?
You know, I felt strange the minute they started working on this. And it was not only just the physical feelings, but it was the sensation that, the feeling that these officers didn't even want to be there. They didn't even want anything to do with this.
Do you think they knew what was going on?
I believe so.
Yeah.
But were unwilling to talk about it. In fact, the only comment was made was... make one officer to another, making sure that the transmission frequencies weren't where they're supposed to be.
What about your other shipmates? How did they feel about
this?
No
one was there but me. I was the only one in charge of the space, so I was the one that was.
You were the witness. Huh?
Yeah.
What was the hull number of the ship?
AD 16, I believe it was.
AD 16. And that was Hector?
Yes. She's currently mothballed in the San Francisco area.
Still?
Yep.
I'll be darned.
Okay. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Dennis, appreciate it.